We give God's name the praise for all that God continues to do. We're in 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, verses 17 through 19. 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, verses, there it is, 17 through 19. You'll find these words. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Verse 18, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Somebody say amen. Amen. For a few moments, we're going to dialogue along this topic. Ready, set, go. Ready, set, go. Last week, we were able to begin a sermon topic and thought dealing with wealth. And it came from the topic, money, 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 money. Ah, I had that high note in me today. All right. And so with regard to that thought, last week, we dealt with this topic, the right to possess money, specifically because God wants us to be wealthy. God wants us to have money. God wants us to have enough to live and have all of our needs. And God wants us to give more than that, so you'll have a margin to be get more than that, so that you'll have a margin available to the Holy Spirit. If you don't have enough, if you are experiencing lack, then run the lack test. That was last week's sermon. I want you to go through the virtual campus, whether on Facebook, YouTube, or through the website, and you'll be able to catch up on that. So last week's focus was the right to possess money. Somebody say, I have a right to possess wealth. Almost there. You didn't believe it, but now you know what I said, so let's run it back one more time. Say, I have a right to possess wealth. Amen. God wants you to amass wealth, to gain wealth, to build wealth. That is God's desire. Today we will consider the way we regard money. All right. So we've talked about God's desire is that we do have a right to possess money. Today we will focus on the efficient, the effective, the righteous way to regard money. Question is, when we say regard money, how do you think about money? It's important because I want you to be happy this year. And I know some of us struggle with contentment and happiness if our lives are not in order, and if you're wrestling and struggling with lack. So I'm trying to do my best to make sure I set you up, give you a good running head start on the year. Amen, somebody? So the question is, how do you think about money? During my years as a pastor, I have often heard to some degree this phrase, if I had $1 million, I would, dot, dot, dot. And there you have the great problem of our time. The question is not what you would do with $1 million. The question is, what are you doing with the 10 that's in your possession, the 100 that's in your possession, the 1,000 that is in your possession? I have heard some say over these years, if I had $1 million, I would support missions. I would renovate the church. I would put an air conditioning in here. I would support the youth ministry. I would do scholarships, so forth and so on. This is the trick of the enemy. It causes you to avoid the reality. And the reality is, again, what are you doing with what you already have? Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 10 and 11 says, whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. This too is meaningless. Verse 11, as goods increase, so does those who consume them. And what benefit are they to the owners except to feast their eyes on them? Saying, if I had 1 million, plays into this scripture. Because the more you have, the more stores you go to. The more food you buy. The more restaurants you visit. The more gasoline you consume and have to purchase. So what is the advantage? Because the reality is, the more you have, the more it goes. That renowned prophet of the 1990s, Christopher Wallace, a.k.a. the notorious B.I.G., a.k.a. Prophet Biggie, said, more money, more problems. So let's get our head in the game and iron the way we regard money. The wrong regard, let's start with that. The wrong regard for money is this: loving money. Somebody say, my. Come on, virtual campus, where are you? The wrong regard, the way you start off at odds with God. Remember, because God desires that you have money. God desires that you amass wealth. God is okay with you, and you have the right to possess wealth. But you start off on the wrong foot if you love you some money. Somebody say, help me, God. Yeah. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10 says, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Because God said, never will I leave you and never will I forsake you. God, help us. God, help us to be happy with what we have. God, help us. God, help us to see money for what it is so it doesn't cause us to trip. Help us, Lord Jesus. Help us to experience the power of 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, which is to know that godliness with contentment is great gain. God, help us so that it may be well with us to accept that we brought nothing into this world and it is certain we can carry nothing from it. Yes. Bethel and virtual campus. So let us set our heart to be honest and honorable and simply do our best. God, the amens is low in Egypt today. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9 says, those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. Say, God, help me. Jesus said, you cannot serve both God and mammon. When you hear that word mammon, that is the word meaning money. You cannot serve God and money. Meaning you cannot love God and love money, because service is an act of love, and to serve means you are doing actions from the abundance of love. You can't do both. You can't say, I love God and I love that money. Two don't go together. Don't be like Achan in the Old Testament, who, because he loved some money, stole a material object of value dedicated to idol worship. As a result, he brought defeat on Israel's armies, and as a result, he and his family ended up dead. Don't be like Delilah, who, because of the love of money, sells out her man. She trades on Samson and ultimately slaughtered thousands of people for some money. Don't be like Ananias and Sapphira in the New Testament, because they were the first hypocrites in the church and were executed before Peter because of their testimony and their misuse of money and their deceit. Don't be like Judas, who sold out Jesus for some money. I'm so glad you hear this and you feel me on this, because there are three things that I believe are going to help us as we work to remember loving money is not something we should do in our regard for money. Here it is. The first thing, number one, loving money leads to forgetting God. Somebody say, my. Proverbs chapter 30, verses 7 through 9 says this: two things I ask of you. Lord, do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. This proverb is written by a fellow by the name of Agur, A-G-U-R. Agur was a person who was very close to King Solomon. Agur watched Solomon. Solomon, we remember, was a very, very rich man. He was an individual who prayed to God for wisdom. That's what many of us do. We learned that in church school and vacation Bible school. If you're going to ask God for anything, ask God for wisdom. And that's what Solomon did. As a result, because of his wisdom, Solomon became a very rich king, and because of his decisions about attaining wealth were based in wisdom and based on the sermon I preached to you last Sunday and the sermon I'm preaching to you today, he amassed great wealth. But apparently, Solomon became trapped in his riches and he wanted more wealth. So he kept on marrying foreign wives, which resulted in combining the net worth of those wives and their families, those ruling families from which they came from, in order to bring in more money. He brought Israel into idolatry because he married these women in order to get more money by combining their kingdoms and their royal families. And as a result, he started failing and falling away and forgetting the God that blessed him with the wisdom that caused him to amass great wealth. So Agur looked at Solomon, observed him, and concluded with Proverbs chapter 30, verses 7 through 9. Lord, give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. I dare somebody to say daily bread. God, neither riches nor poverty, but my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and forget about you, or I may become poor and dishonor your name. Don't let a craving for money sink you. Wisdom and good sense will have you replaying both today and last week's messages so that you can build wealth. However, if you don't check your motive, if a love for money will raise up in you, it will cause you to end up like Solomon. Yes. The second thing that we learn, number two thing of loving money leads you to a place of compromise. Loving money leads you to a place of compromise. The virtual campus is rocking with me, and I thank you, God, that you are too. The love of money can bring a man or a woman to the place where he or she actually compromises biblical instruction. Have you ever thought about your price? What is your price? For what will you sell out? Some people would sell out for position. There are some people on the job who, if they could get a promotion, would lie, would trick, would betray, would steal, and would falsify record. Some people would sell out for popularity. Some people mute the testimony of Jesus Christ, and they deny their family or their cultural background so they won't be unpopular. That's selling out. So what is your price? As long as you have a price, be sure that Satan is going to get there and he's going to make you an offer you cannot refuse. Beloved hearts, if there had to be a point in which you sell out, it should be at the point where Matthew chapter 6 verse 33 stops operating. And that says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything that you need, everything that will bring make you contentment will be given unto you. The moment you sell out is the moment when the promises of God come up short. The moment you sell out is the moment when God's word, which has never returned to him void, comes back incomplete. Beloved heart, I just want you to know that you should never compromise and you should never sell out, because God's promises never fail. Because God's promises never return to him void. I wish to God I had at least 5 witnesses that would jump to their feet, that would like this phrase and say, God never fails. God never fails. God never. God never fails. Take the seat. I got one more point. The third thing. Loving money leads to, God help me, in this Presbyterian Lutheran church, is robbing God. Loving money will lead you to rob God. Malachi chapter 3 verses 8 through 12 says, where will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you, God? In tithes and offerings. Verse 9, therefore you are under a curse, your whole nation or family, because all of you are robbing me. Verse 10, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the windows of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. I'm only reading the scripture. Verse 11, will prevent pests from devouring your crops and the vines in your fields. They will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Verse 12, then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord. Robbing God results in a curse. That's why your old heads and your old school family members seem so superstitious, because robbing God will bring a curse on you. And they say, don't bring a curse on me. No, no, husband, no, wife, don't bring a curse on me. No, mama, no, daddy, no, child, don't bring a curse on me. We will not rob God in this house. As for me and my house, we will love God, we will serve God, we will trust God, and therefore we will not rob God. Food, when the scripture says food in my house, that means sustenance. That means do this so that there is a continuous operation of ministering to my people, no matter where they are in their life. Food in my house. God says, bring the tithe and offering into the storehouse that there may be meat. Food in my house. That means my house, the church, will always be that entity that ministers to the needs of my people, says the Lord, no matter where they are in life. My generation says, I can tithe to Ronald McDonald House. I can tithe by cooking food and feeding it. God says, no, I established a thing called a church, because the world will know my church, because my church will reflect me, Jesus Christ speaking, and my church will minister to the needs of my people wherever they are. You depressed? My church has something for it. You broken in your spirit? My church has something for it. You sick in your body? My church has something for it. You wrestling with your mental health? My church has something for it. You hungry in your belly? There's a pantry at my church. You struggling with your baby daddy? My church, it has something for it. Bring it to my house, says the Lord, because my church which was, and the reason, Dawn, and the reason, Brother Arthur, and the reason, Brother Craig, my church has stood for 2,000 years is because I didn't need everybody to believe it. I didn't need everybody to jump on the bandwagon. I just need my folks who got the spirit in them, who knows the power of God, to believe it. I just need 5. I need 10. All I need is my 100. All I need is my 150. There were those who were only 1. There was only 2 when the church was established in the midst of persecution, hiding behind closed doors, meeting in the woods, meeting where nobody knew they were meeting, and they were being the church. They were supplying the needs of the people, ministering to the hearts of people. How it is you think black folk made it over Jim Crow South and slavery? God says, because although the devil meant it for your evil, God says, I turned it around for your good. Although the white man told you in slavery that because there are scriptures that says slaves be obedient to the master, the devil meant it for your evil, but God says no. But they presented a church, and I don't care how the devil presents it to you, the source and core of what it is, my church, will bring life no matter what circumstance, no matter what situation, no matter what trouble you find. And although the devil meant it for your demise, God says, I've taken my church and I've birthed lawyers and doctors. I've birthed mathematicians. I've birthed architects. I took my church and I poured it out on my people, and my people prosper. Beloved heart, you cannot rob God, because robbing God brings on a curse. And while you out here dating and trying to find your boo, and you got so many standards for your boo, and your boo got to be at least 6 feet, or your boo got to be the Coke bottle shape, I don't know, whatever your fancy is, whatever makes you happy, what you do, you better make sure your boo know how to not rob God. Because John tells us in chapter 3, verse 17, if anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? That means if a person will rob God, then they will rob you. If a person will rob God, then they will rob other people. And while you thinking, sitting here loving on people for all their other attributes, you better look at their relationship with God. Do you know God? Do you love God? Do you serve God? Do you belong to His church? I wish to God I had a congregation that understood what it was that I was saying. Because if you understand the power of this relationship, then you will understand that I cannot do anything apart from God. Y'all, it's time for me to take my seat. But today's sermon was all about our attitude about money. And the wrong attitude is to love money. The right attitude is this, that it's all God's anyway. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and all of those people who dwell therein. That means the money belongs to God. That means the resources belong to God. That means the opportunity belongs to God. That means the open doors belong to God. That means the highway to heaven, it belongs to God. It all belongs to God. And I am but just a mere steward, that because I love God, I will not trip on no money. I dare you to turn to your neighbor and say, don't trip on no money. Don't trip on no money. Don't trip on no money. Not because of no money. No, don't get tripped up. Don't get tripped up about a love for money. I am trying to get you to understand the having the right attitude about money will help you move into God's desire for your life, and that is that I prosper you, Jeremiah 29:11, and that I bring you into a good and expected end. Well, Bethel, I've got to take my sheet. Last week I told you about your right to possess money, and this week I'm telling you about the right attitude to have about money. And now that you have the right attitude about money, then the field is yours. Get ready, get set, and go. You now have a baton in your hand to prosper your own self. You now have a baton in your hand to prosper your household. You have a baton in your hand to prosper your community. You have a baton in your hand to prosper your church. Is there anything too hard for God? The devil is a liar. No, there isn't. I don't care what the obstacle looks like. I don't care how tall the mountain may be. I don't care how rough it may be, but because God is on my
side, and that God wants me to enter into a wealthy place, and that God wants me to have money, and I have the right attitude. I'm not loving on no money, but I'm loving on the God that makes all things good and says, this is what I want for you. Now I have a baton in my hand. You better watch out, because now I'm running. I'm running into my destiny. You better watch out. Don't get in the way, because God is doing something. I wish somebody's soul would catch on fire. I wish somebody's soul would catch on fire. I wish somebody's soul would catch on fire. That means what God has seeded in your heart, the vision God has given you, it will come to pass. Write the vision, make it plain, and run, 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 run. Doctor, I need you to run. Scientist, I need you to run. Worshiper, I need you to run. Run, run, run. Everybody's standing. Everybody's standing. Attitude determines altitude. Yeah, and I bind piss poor attitudes in the name of Jesus. I bind attitudes that force us in cycles of poverty in the name of Jesus. I bind attitudes that make us paranoid and suspicious about the Lord's church. I bind it. I bind all those attitudes that causes us to reel about in lack. I bind it in the name of Jesus. And I pray you take this baton, and I pray you march onward and upward to the glory of God.
Hallelujah. What a powerful message from our pastor. In this brand new year of 2022, we can't just sit on these words, but we've got to implement them. There may be someone here today who is outside of the ark of safety. Someone here who does not know the Lord in the pardoning of your sins. Or perhaps there's someone here who you are a Christian and you are not a member of any church. Won't you come and be with us? Come and give the preacher your hand and God your heart, and unite with Bethel AME Church. You can begin to build what it is that God wants for you in your life today. Is there one who will come? Is there one who will come? Going once, going twice. Okay, it looks like we're all Bethelites here today. But for those of you who are listening and watching through the internet, give God your heart. Give him your life. I wouldn't even try to live in a world today without the Lord on my side. God bless you, my brothers and sisters.
Good morning, Bethel. Is that time for us, our worship through giving? It's a new year. Also, we are presented with a new opportunity to demonstrate our gratitude in lieu of the many, many blessings God has bestowed upon each of us. Truly, we are blessed. For those attending the virtual campus, the electronic way of giving is now appearing on screen. If using Cash App, simply use the cash tag, hashtag Bethel Buffalo. For GiveAfly, simply search Bethel AME Buffalo. For PayPal, use the church's email address, BethelBuffalo@yahoo.com. Lastly, you may mail us at 1525 Michigan Avenue, Buffalo, New York, 14209. The Bible instructs us, ask and you shall receive, and don't grow weary in well-doing. You will reap a harvest of blessings if you faint not. So please consider partnering with Bethel Buffalo God is reviving us. Your tithe or offering of support will help us to do the work God has assigned us. Will you help us? Prayer. Lord, bless the giver. Also bless those who may not have been able to give at this time. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have not already done so, please go ahead and give electronically. For those present in the sanctuary, after the benediction, please place your tithe and offering in the baskets held by the ushers at the back door of the sanctuary.
Good morning. Please stand for the affirmation of faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Church Universal, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Dr. Darcel prepares to come to lead us in our benediction. I want you to make sure you're continuing to be cognizant of the environments you are in and the mass amounts of people to which you interact, and make sure we're loving on each other, checking on each other, and supporting each other. You know, yesterday, I'm blessed. I am officially a New Yorker. My license came in the mail. Amen. All right, this is the second time in my 39 years that I have not been a Pennsylvanian. For 4 years, I was a Georgian, and then I went back to Pennsylvania, and now I'm a New Yorker. Amen. And it's a little nice little idea. It's nice little see-through. It's enhanced and stuff. You could cross borders. So I'm legit, all right? Amen. So I'm legit. I'm a New Yorker, but I'm just grateful for what God is doing this year, all right? Let's go ahead and do our fist bump so that I can feel your love. As soon as we come back down to, you know, orange or yellow alert, we'll get the recessional going again. But in the meantime, we're going to go ahead and keep that social distance in practice. All right, can I get my fist bump? Pow! I love you all so much. Listen, God has great things in store, so I want you to continue to be in prayer. The three-year plan is complete, and you're going to start receiving that shortly. The end-of-the-year contributions are being mailed out this weekend and given out, so you'll have those as well. And so keep in mind, for the three-year plan, anything you can do to help serve the Lord, whether you can sing, whether you dance, whether you can paint, oh, there's a whole lot. We're going to be working, y'all. So keep in prayer for your church, all right? Yes? Amen.
Oh, Lord, our God, help us to remember that every good gift comes from you and belongs to you. And now unto him who is able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy. To the all-wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, now, henceforth, and forevermore. And the people of God said, amen. See you.